I'll hide it, thanks for mine.
So this morning we're going to sing a wee few songs, mostly with the theme of adoration. And when I was thinking about adoration and what it means to really adore God, you know, to worship Him and to be in that place where you're really focusing on Him and just giving your all to Him, I did some Googling because that's always very helpful. And I found that King David wrote a beautiful prayer in 1 Chronicles, verses 29, 11 to 12. And I just want to read it to you this morning as our call to worship. And I guess to encourage you to think about what sort of heart you're coming to worship with this morning. Is it a heart that is joyful, that is open to the Lord? Is it a heart that is wanting to be close to Him? So I'll read this wee piece and then we'll just move straight into worship. So 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours. O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you make everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. So let's worship the Lord this morning. Theme with the beautiful song Steve introduced to us last week. The tempo is a wee bit different to the Chris Tomlin version, but I'm sure you'll be able to follow it just. Thank you. come freely this morning to worship you, Father. Father God, as we move into communion now, Father, we draw close to you. We thank you for your sacrifice, Father, and we thank you for that Son that you sent to us, Father. So, Lord, with hearts of love and adoration this morning, we lift these praises to you, God, and we draw close to you in communion. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kayla, and your wonderful team. The Saviour's Happy Meal. Long, long time ago, and you remember the story well, I'm sure, where Israel, the Hebrew people, were delivered out of Egypt. And they had the angel of death, which is a very scary idea, passed over all the houses where there was the blood of a lamb that was sprinkled on the doors. And every year since that time, and still, the Hebrew people celebrate Passover once a year. And they remember that occasion, they remember that time, and all that took place there, and how they were delivered. And they rejoice and are full of joy at the deliverance. And a lamb was sacrificed so that could happen. And Jesus asked the disciples to celebrate the Passover with him. And because it's a family occasion, they gather around the table and they have a Seder meal. And you may have done that here, and they've got all the different symbolism of going through the meal. It's a full meal. It's meat and potatoes. It's very good. It's a good meal. And it was while they were having this meal that Jesus took some bread and he broke it before them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." And I can imagine those disciples wondering, "What? This has never been done before. What is this?" He said, "This is my body which is given for you." And then he took a cup, because during the meal they take about four different glasses of wine to celebrate through this time. And he took a cup and he said, "This is my blood which is poured out for you. Drink it as often as you do in remembrance of me." And at that time, something may have dawned upon them. He was saying, as of old, when the blood of the lamb was sprinkled on there, the angel of death passed over and you were delivered. And so it is that I am the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, so that death is passed over you and you have life in all its fullness. What an amazing remembrance. I can just picture them seated around the table saying, "Oh!" We have become quite formal when we celebrate this, and it's a solemn occasion. We think of it primarily as that. But for the Hebrew people, Passover is never solemn. It is party central, if I'm allowed to use that term. It is a great occasion. And for us today, as we remember on this third Sunday of Advent, joy. I want us to remember this. This is Hebrews 12, verse 2. "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." For the joy that was set before him. Do you know what that joy was? Us. We are his joy. And so he could endure the cross. So when we take bread and juice this morning, let it be a joyful thing. And what I'd like us to do is to as those who serve come and serve you the bread first and then the juice after that, if you'd retain that, and then together, we'll take the bread and we'll take the juice. Is that okay? That's cool. Let's pray together. God, today we thank you for this happy meal, this simple meal that sustains us because we know that these are symbols and emblems, and in the midst of this, there's something special takes place when we realize that all that you did, Jesus, in giving yourself for us, your body given, your blood poured out, sustains us and carries us through and gives us life in all its fullness. And Lord, the mystery of this will continue to be so for us. But this morning as we take with joy in our hearts because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Amen. All over the world, we join with countless thousands of Christ followers who take this simple meal. Just as the Hebrews remembered the Passover and they had their happy meal every year to remind them of that occasion and their deliverance, so we take this happy meal, the Savior's happy meal, to remind us of our deliverance. And so we eat and we drink with joy in our hearts. Amen. I wanted to conclude our communion time by reading you a poem. This happy meal doesn't look like much, and it doesn't come with a toy. It may not fill my stomach, but it fills my heart with joy. The bread and juice remind me of the Savior's love for me. When he died upon a rugged cross, on a hill called Calvary. There is no way I can describe the gratitude I feel each and every time I eat the Savior's happy meal. God bless us all. Enjoying the Lord still? Good. John, it's great to see you back here out of hospital. Thanks for coming this morning. I thought we were going to be praying for you at a distance. We just want to pray for you now while you're here. And I remember Jim Lamb, he's recovering well from shoulder surgery, and also Jimmy Duncan is still hobbling around, but he's getting around the place very well. Any others that are part of our community here that are suffering at this time, as we pray together now, let's remember them. Let's bring them before the Saviour, that the healer, the great physician, might touch them and bring aid and healing to them. Would you join me as we pray? God, we thank you this morning for this amazing happy meal that we've just celebrated, we've just enjoyed together. Lord, I ask that you'd help us not to get taken up so much with the bread and wine, but to get taken up with the one who is represented in this, and to enjoy you, Lord, as we worship you together today. So God, we come before you as those who are needy people. All of us need you in some way. And Lord, together this morning, we want to particularly bless you for John being with us. We thank you for the fact that you're healing his leg. And Lord, we pray for a complete whole healing that would take place. Recovery be quick, no more infection, none of that take place within his leg. Lord, we come before you with that. We think of John Hall. We continue to pray for a miracle and to break what is a continuing thing in the family. We ask for your healing touch upon them. Lord, we know that you desire to do that more than we would or could, but we bless you. And we think of Jim Lamb. We pray for him. For Jim Duncan, we ask for him as well. And for any others that we know of, Lord, who at this time need your touch, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, Lord, all of us stand in need of healing today. Heal our brokenness. Heal our broken hearts. Heal our broken dreams. Heal our broken bodies. And we ask it together for your glory. Amen. Amen. This morning, I haven't got a sermon as such. There's not much to look at up on the screen, but I just feel a conviction to share with you one or two thoughts from the familiar story of Christmas. But I think I should read the scriptures first. A reading this morning from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 through to verse 14. A story that's familiar to us all. Well, I should. Children going out?
Yes, you want to continue?
Yes, children. Let me pray for you before you go. God, we thank you for our children. We ask, Lord, that as they've enjoyed this happy meal, I pray that they'll contrast that with the happy meal from McDonald's that never satisfies, but this one does. So, Lord, as they go out today, bless them in their time together with Lynn. Pray that they'll have a great time of learning more about you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 See you a little bit later, kids. Did I say Luke chapter 2? Good. Verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's a familiar story. It really is. Sometimes I believe within the familiarity of the story and of the rhythms of the season, we can miss something that's hidden in plain sight very easily. The Christmas story starts with infertility. John the Baptist's parents couldn't have children. They were getting old. And the angel Gabriel shows up, presents himself before them, and they are terrified. It seems that Gabriel is an angel that's sent on these wonderful missions to tell people who are barren, tell women who are barren, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a baby. That's a great little thing to be able to do from the heart of God. Now, they're troubled. The word troubled doesn't tell the story. I don't know about you, but if you were confronted with an angel and you were getting on in years a little bit, I won't say how old, but on, and an angel said, you're going to have children. You're going to have a child. Well, let's look at Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah got this news and Elizabeth was there. They got this news together. And he questioned the angel. You do not question Gabriel. It's not a good thing to do. But the angel, as I said, tells Zechariah that he's going to be a dad, and he challenges the angel. You don't do that. You just don't. He couldn't speak for 9 months as a result. He was speechless. And I don't know why he was struck speechless. Maybe it was so that he could contemplate the miracle that was happening and taking place. I don't know. But there's something about this Christmas story that has fear attached to it, terrified people, and then it ends with joy. That's what goes on. It ends with joy. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Here's the thing that I'd like us to think about, and I was touched by this past week as I was preparing. The angel told him that his prayer had been heard, and as a couple, they'd given up on having children a long time ago. This is something that's there in plain sight that we miss. At Christmas time, things are dialed up. Unfulfilled longings are dialed up at Christmas time. Family disappointments are dialed up at Christmas time. Grief is dialed up at Christmas time. When we used to celebrate Christmas with a partner and a loved one, and they're not there. All this is dialed, and there's longings in our heart. And even as a church, there are longings in the heart of us as a church. And I believe that God would want us to hear this today, that your prayers have been heard even though you are discouraged. There's a message in there. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. His prayer was heard. You can pray something in God, and you can pray with conviction, believing, and nothing seems to happen, but God heard it. And if God hears it, you can be sure in his time, he will fulfill what you've heard. Never be disheartened that he has not heard the desires of your heart. People of God need to hear that. Too many people look on at the spiritual superstars and think, well, God hears their prayer, but he doesn't hear mine. God hears our prayers. Zechariah and Elizabeth are proof of that. The shepherds. Now, shepherds. Anybody here a shepherd? If not, you fulfill the role every now and again. I want to read this passage again because, once again, we can miss this. You ready? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, shepherds, eastern shepherds who fend off wolves, bear, all kinds of big animals that can hurt their sheep and them, are not necessarily quickly filled with fear. These guys were. They were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." And as I looked at, near as I could, the original idea behind this great joy, this is the greatest news ever. This is something that should put a smile on your face. This is the greatest news ever. Don't you shiver in your shoes. "For you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." All that these people knew, they were looking for the Messiah. They were, everything within them, their whole culture. The Hebrew people were looking for the Messiah. And the angel said, "Here he is." This is great news. Incredible news. And it should fill you with joy and not fear. First the fear, then the joy. I believe that God wants to do something good in us, in our lives, and sometimes we are full of fear. And sometimes you've got to be afraid. I remember reading somewhere that says that we should be scared spitless every day. It sharpens our awareness. It gives us a prayer life. Some of us are fearful of the presence of God, as shepherds were. A light shone around them. They need to go and sit down. The presence of God can be fearful. It can be a little frightening, can be a little bit upsetting, but then it fills us with joy, because that's what it's all about. It fills us with joy. So Christmas can be a dreaded season, as I said, when it dials up these things, and it's a fearful time for many. A painful time for many. First the fear, then the joy. What about Mary? Here's a teenager, betrothed. The way they did that in Hebrew culture, as best as my understanding, is that most young women, as soon as they became 13, of course, they're a woman of God. They're not a child. We've invented teenagerhood. Did you know that? Scary thing. No teenagers in the Bible. Not one. Once it got to be 13, it became a man or a woman of God. And usually at that time, they were betrothed. This was a deal set up between parents, and it was arranged marriage type of thing. And Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And that should be good news. Well, the angel came and spoke to Mary as well, remember? And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. That would be an understatement. Once again, I tried to get back and say, what does this mean, greatly troubled? She was terrified. Totally terrified at being greeted by this angel. And I don't know what angels look like. Anybody here seen one? I know they're around. But when an angel presents himself to you, unmistakable. She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Picture this with me, if you will. Mary is called favored one, highly favored. about to be divorced by her husband because she's pregnant at 14 years of age. Hello. You know, we've got a nice sort of sanitized version of all this that we think of at Christmas. The reality for Mary was something, I believe, a little different at that time in history. She was about to be divorced by her husband because she was pregnant and he wasn't the father. Hello? Do you think the village might have had something to say about that? Think the family might have had something to say about that? In that culture, that was time for divorce. Bye-bye. This is just not a good thing. And God says through the angel Gabriel, highly favored. Had to leave Israel to hide in Egypt. Highly favored, a favored one. Mother of an illegitimate son. Favored one. Favored one. Favor doesn't always go well. Sometimes there is trouble. Sometimes there is difficulty attached to the favor of God. It can be fear, but then comes the joy. The joy of a child. For Elizabeth and Zechariah, the joy of John the Baptist being born. Pretty interesting when Mary goes and visits Elizabeth. Do you remember that? They're both pregnant. She's an old woman, and yeah, I mean, there's the 14, 15 year old, and there's the very old person. And when Mary comes in to the room, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy. What's going on there? I want to tell you that in the womb, children are pretty aware. In fact, the scripture says that he was filled with the Spirit from the womb. That's pretty important. Babies are important people, even before they're born. When we say yes to Jesus, his favor comes, but sometimes there's fear before there is joy. The fear was then, and then the joy of this baby that was being born, who was the Savior of the world. What about the visit of the Magi? Now, generally, that we look at that story and we put that all together on Christmas cards and stories you read of and TV and so on. Probably they came about 2 years later. They didn't come to a manger and a stable. They came to a house. Matthew 2:10 records that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. These Magi, they were royalty. They'd been on a pilgrimage. They'd seen a star. And my research tells me that, I hate to say this, but they weren't actually Christians. They were, in fact, they followed another religious organization called Zoroastrianism. I think that's what it is. They studied the stars. And they saw a sign in the sky. And they followed that for 2 years. Now, these people had the conviction and the stickability to follow the star, to bring their gifts of royalty to a king that was going to be born. They had heard there was a king to be born. The word joy here carries with it something a little more than just joy. It carries with it a sense of, I think the word is almost violence, not the beating up kind of thing. But they've been on a journey of 2 years searching for the star, and they couldn't find it. They'd seen the sign. They knew there was a king, and they wanted to bring their gifts. It brought them out of their comfort zones. In fact, one commentator that I read said that what happened with these people, there was something going on in the realm of the heavenlies. This was a spiritual warfare thing, and the joy that they experienced was something that was unsettling to the powers of darkness. Well, the whole thing was unsettling to the power of darkness, because the king, the emperor at that time, wanted to kill all the male children 2 years old and under. And that's, of course, why Joseph and Mary had to retreat to Egypt. I'll read the two verses. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. By the way, there probably were more than three. They usually traveled in convoys, 12 to maybe up to 20. We assume there were three because there were three gifts. But the scriptures never say there were only three wise men. That's there in plain sight. Check it out. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. Why is that important? Because sometimes we don't read our Bibles. And we don't grab the significance of this thing that's in plain sight. This was royalty, recognizing royalty, and fell on their faces to worship him when they came into the house. How about us? Do we fall on our faces when we come into the house and recognize that this one is the Savior of the world? We might learn a lesson from these wise men. The kingdom of God is all about joy. Listen to this, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Affectionately, we say sometimes Christians look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. They have a sour disposition rather than a joyful disposition. We should be the most joyful people on earth. And by the way, joy is very different than happiness. Joy is a deep down contentment that it is well with my soul. It is well with the world. I am okay with the stuff that happens because I know my God is in control of it all. The kingdom of God is all about joy. Jesus, just before he's arrested, speaks this incredible prayer. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. John 17:13 says it this way, I am on my way to you, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that my followers will have the same complete joy I do. Here's Jesus anticipating the cross. As we, around the communion table, thought about this whole idea, we are his joy. We are his joy. The joy that God has in his triunity. The joy of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in communion together. The joy of the people of God who are embraced into that. Ah, oh, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Christmas is really all about. So just a few thoughts about Christmas and the Christmas story. Joy. How's your joy quotient? On a scale of 1 to 10. What do we got going here? How many? Can you advance on 3? 5? Nobody's brave enough. Okay. Joy to the world. We're going to sing that as a closing song. Is that the one? Is it on MP4? Joy to the world on MP4. Wonderful. Got a variety of bands here this morning. So I invite us to sing this song again. It's a familiar song, but don't let the words become too familiar to us. Every heart. not only is there something for us to be joyful about, the heart of God is just full of joy. This is a quality of God. And this is our benediction from Zephaniah 3:17. Adonai, your God, is in your midst, a mighty Savior. He will dwell over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. And may that be so as we go out today and enjoy him. Don't let this moment that we've enjoyed together this morning, don't let that be robbed from you. As you go into this week, go with joy, because the Savior has come and we're looking forward to him coming back for his bride. If we're not moved in some way by this story, can I respectfully say, check your pulse. God bless you as you go today. And thank you, team, for all you've shared with us this morning. Thank you.